The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, cracking weekend of sport. Cathal Melani is here to review it all. Let's start with the hurling semi-finals. People say Cork were good, but surely the point is Dublin are not in the top six. I could name Waterford, Clare, so many others I could put. Like, the only reason they beat Limerick was they were out on their feet after the epic Munster Championship they'd gone through. And, you know, Cork had time to recover. And, I mean, Dublin were a disgrace on Saturday, weren't they?
Well, I think Dublin did really, really well to beat Limerick. It was always going to be difficult to replicate that performance in terms of the intensity. Cork, very, very good. As expected, I don't think anyone expected the margin of victory, but Cork, I think you've got to give them a lot of credit for the ruthlessness that they showed and definitely enhanced their credentials as the favourites to win the All-Ireland, which maybe isn't a brilliant thing for them, Ivan, because there's been a lot of hype around Cork, hasn't there?
Yeah, and then we come to the epic match, which was yesterday. And how do you think James Owens, the ref, got on?
Well, I think that the scoreboard at the end was the big controversy.
Was that his fault?
Not necessarily, no. No, it wasn't. It was in the stadium and on television as well. The scoreboard was incorrect. And the reason around that and the influence that had on the game really was that Kilkenny thought that they needed to get a goal late on, whereas they could have kept clipping over the points maybe and managed to get a draw or even edge ahead in the end. So the GAA have released a statement around that last night, Ivan. They say that they admit that there was some confusion over that, and they're awaiting the report from the referee to realise or discover how that happened.
It was the last score, was it, or something?
So Noel McGrath had a shot from underneath the Cusick stand, and a lot of the Tipperary support has reacted as if it went over the bar. Now, the umpire, in fairness, was very clear and waved it wide, but it was registered as a score in the stadium. And at that point, I think it put Tipperary 4 points up. So everyone thought that they were four up when they were actually only three up. And Kilkenny obviously thought, having a look at the scoreboard as well, that they were that far behind too. Now, I think on the overall balance of play in the second half in particular, I thought Tipperary were excellent.
Yeah.
They were really, really
good. In fact,
good.
The sending off emboldened them. I thought if Tipperary lost, they would have been complaining about the referee. Like, if you actually look at the number of points from frees they got, they got none in the first half. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, and the goals kept them in it. And Kilkenny started the game brilliantly, I thought.
They were well on top.
They were well on top. And the goal that Tip got early on really kept them in it. Tipperary, you know, they deserve a lot of credit, I think, for their championship campaign this year, how poor they were last year. And you have to remember as well, they took some big beatings against Cork this year in the league final and the Munster Championship as well.
McCarthy sent off in the first few minutes. Like, that match was destroyed.
It was. And I think it actually leaves them, Ivan, I think, in a pretty good spot heading into the final. In that,
I think it does. They're kind of under the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
And the fact that they got hammered by Cork because of the red card. And Liam Cahill's story is extraordinary in terms of, you know, leaving Waterford and all that. But for me, like, how Oisín O'Donoghue got that goal. Like, first of all, he had two players to beat. He had only, because he's a very good Kilkenny goalie, there was only a very small area in the top left-hand corner that would beat. It was, like, it was by far the moment of the year.
Incredible, incredible. Yeah, the amount of Kilkenny players that were around him. Yeah. I'm not sure how he managed
how
to
he
get
got
a swing
shot
at it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then into the roof of the net beyond the Kilkenny goalkeeper, and the reaction in the stadium after that goal went in.
There is a kind of feeling that Cork are chokers. You know, they left it behind them last year. Well, no, I wouldn't expect anyone off the ball to have an opinion. They'll discuss it for 16 hours, but they could be choked. Like, they're 4-9 favourites.
They are. But I think what you said there is right, Ivan, that Tipperary are in a lovely position. There's no real pressure on them.
They're not expected.
And Cork were there last year. They'll have the experience of losing that final. So I think it'll be an awful lot closer than people might expect, and than the odds reflect as well. I think Tipperary are going to give this a huge rattle.
Okay, that is something to look forward to. Now, Wimbledon is getting to the decisive week. So I'm all for technology. I'm all for Hawkeye. I'm all for VAR, because I think on balance it gives it. But what happened at Wimbledon? They switched off the machine or something?
Yeah, they switched off the electronic line calling system on centre court at one point, and it missed, I think, three calls in one game.
And like, I saw one photograph today, like, it was nearly a foot outside.
Yeah,
some poor Russian girl.
Yeah, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova said that the game, one of the games in her match was stolen from her when no out call was called, as you say, for one of the shots from her opponent, Sané Kartal. I suppose, I don't know how the machine was turned off. I'm not sure how that happened.
Yeah, no, apparently.
And
that's what they say it was.
Yeah, it was. And I know that some of the players have been critical of the introduction of this technology, which has been used at other Grand Slams as well, that they have believe that some of the calls are a little bit dodgy.
Yeah.
In place of the human people that used to call these shots and stuff with the lines that you used to see at the side of the court. So it is an indication.
I don't know if you saw it, you're probably working, but Parry versus Norrie, I just caught the last set of it yesterday evening. It was an epic
match. Cam Norrie is doing really well. There's always huge pressure on the British players, isn't there, at Wimbledon?
He was top 10 and then he dropped out of the top 100.
Yeah, and now I think he plays Carlos Alcaraz next as well.
Well, that's the end of that.
That could well be the end of that.
I think it's definitely going to be an Alcaraz Sinner final.
Yeah, well, Djokovic might have a thing or two to say about that. He plays today.
I'm his biggest fan, but I just the miles are on the clock. What about the women's? Sabalenka, is she still in it?
Sabalenka is still in the women's draw.
She's another choker too.
Well, she's not universally popular, I will say that. The other players in that, there's going to be a good game today between Mira Andreeva and Emma Navarro in the women's singles today, the seventh seed against the world number 10. But Sabalenka would look to be the strongest player left in that draw.
Now, speaking to Alan Quinlan, he's heading off he's heading off to the Lions thing. It hasn't really caught up yet.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. They haven't played well. They won at the weekend by 21 points to 10. Pretty unconvincing against the Waratahs. You have to remember these matches are warm-ups for the test matches that are coming up later on, the 19th.
There's a big one
July.
On Wednesday, he was saying. And that, like, in terms of the starting team for the test on Saturday week.
Yeah, they've named a strong team.
They're saying, who are they playing?
They're playing the Brumbies on Wednesday. And they've named their team this morning and there's 8 Irish players in the starting lineup, but it does have the look of a test team, as you say, Ivan.
Is Ellis Genge or...?
8 players, there's 8 players and there's Finn Russell and Jameson Gibson-Park are partnered together again. That's looking like a really interesting partnership.
Sure.
In terms of the creativity that they provide. And it's going to be interesting to see how they play.
And in the back, is Hugh Keenan in?
Yeah, so there's 8 Irish players in there. Blair Kinghorn is at full back. Gary Ringrose and Bundy Aki are in the centre. James Lowe on the wing. Jameson Gibson-Park alongside Russell, as I say. Tadhg Furlong will start in the front row. Mauro Tolgi and Joe McCarthy then in the engine room. Jack Conan will wear number 8. Ellis Genge, as you say, starting as well. So this is a team that I think Andy Farrell will want to click into gear a little bit. Even though these matches, when you look back on the tour, at the end of it all, they don't really take on much significance. But now, I think, for the Lions...
And what of Australia, insofar as that they played Fiji and they don't have many warm-up matches?
No, they don't. And there has been some controversy around Joe Schmidt and Australia releasing their players to play for the club sides as well in this tour too. So there's been a little bit of tension in the background. Australia come into this really with nothing to lose because no one's really expecting them to lay a glove on the Lions.
They've gone well down in the rankings.
They have. And Joe Schmidt hasn't really inspired the upturn that they would have hoped since he's been appointed as head coach. And there has been a little bit of disarray in Australia in rugby terms over the last 5 or 6 years. But again, no more than Tipperary in the hurling, Australia in a pretty good position that not many people expect much from them.
And Paul O'Connell's talking up these young Irish kids.
Yeah, they did well at the weekend in difficult conditions in Tbilisi against Georgia. There was
Georgia, please.
I know, but poor conditions.
Like the Enniscorthy Bees have beat them. You know what I mean? Like, they're useless.
We'll have to send them out there the next time and see.
Yeah, who's emerging as a potential star?
Well, I think Craig Casey has taken on a leadership role with Ireland, and the Casey-Prendergast combination is going to be something that we're going to need to keep an eye on from an Irish point of view. If you look at Jameson Gibson-Park that we've spoken about at scrum half, he's helped Ireland tick at international level in the last few years. Casey is a player that Ireland will hope can take up the mantle there at scrum half. And then obviously there's been a lot of emotion and time invested in Sam Prendergast as an out half.
Yeah.
And
a lot of Crowley fans, Munster fans are not too happy.
So Prendergast, they'll be hoping, from an Irish point of view, they'll be hoping that he can gain some more experience this summer at Test.
Yeah, the problem with Prendergast, he just can't tackle. He's a really classy player in every other respect.
Definitely has the skills.
All right, Cathal Mullaney putting up with me and telling us all the weekend sport. Thank you as well. He's from Sligo, so he lost interest in the championship at an early stage.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.